A great preacher last week. Yeah. Like, you know, not me out of a job, Slick. Tone it down a little bit, would you? All right. I don't mind you preaching big, but don't preach that big. All right. Happy New Year to you. There you go. So, have you made any New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand if you've made any New Year's resolutions. Amen. It seems like you, like me, have resolved not to make any resolutions. Amen? That's right. Well, you know, I read a Reader's Digest story of where a guy called his dad, and he said, "Well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution?" And he said, very, very proudly, "I have resolved to make your mother as happy as I can all year long." So then Mom got on the phone, and he said, "Mom, what's your New Year's resolution?" And she said, "To make sure that your dad keeps his." Amen. Kids Corner, forgive me. How dare I? Kids Corner, huh? I am forgiven. Marshall forgives me. Run. Come on. You didn't know you was a kid too, did you, Tina? Come on. That's funny. Well, let me tell you, whether you make resolutions or whether you don't, I've got one resolution that you ought to make this morning. I think that we should all resolve to grow like Jesus. In 2010, my prayer is that you resolve to grow like Jesus. Now, I also read about a 10-year-old girl who went with her family to see all the Christmas light displays all over the city. And they stopped at this one church and they got out to look more closely at this beautiful Christmas nativity scene. The girl's grandmother said, "Isn't it beautiful? Just look at all the animals. Look at Mary. Look at Joseph. Look at the baby Jesus." And the little girl said, "Well, Grandma, just one thing bothers me. Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He's the same size as he was last year." Can I tell you that it's good for us that Jesus did not remain a baby? It's good for us that God not only came to earth as an infant child, but that he came and experienced everything that we go through in our lives. It's good for us that we can trust our Creator not only because He made us, but because He can identify with us. You know, the Scriptures don't tell us very much about the youth of Jesus. But the Scriptures do tell us this one thing, and that is, He grew. He grew. He grew in many ways, and we're going to discover some of those this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39. The Word of God says, "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child," say that with me, the word after child, "and the child grew," very good, "and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this? look at your father and I have been seeking you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let us pray. Father, we pray this morning with receptive hearts, receptive minds, and a willingness to change. But Lord, we also pray with a willingness to grow. We don't want to grow like the world grows. Lord, we want to grow like Jesus. And I pray that in the message this morning, Father, that you would illuminate all of our eyes, all of our minds and hearts, that we would be compelled to grow like Jesus in 2010. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Did that kind of feel like a time warp to you? Think about it. 10 days ago, we were celebrating the birth of Christ, and now we're reading about what he did at age 12. What happened? Well, the fact is this. The scriptures tell us very little about what Jesus' life was like from the time he was born until this. Now, there are some early writings that you can find that made suggestions of childhood miracles that he supposedly performed, but they were written nearly 500 years after Jesus lived, and they're not even considered part of the scriptures. But we do know this. We have the stories of his birth. We do know that he was circumcised at 8 days old and that he was officially named Jesus at that time. We also do know that he was dedicated to the temple when he was 40 days old. But then, nothing. But then, nothing until this trip to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. And then after this story, there's nothing more about him until he begins his ministry at age 30. But this story gives us some valuable information. This story reminds us of something very, very important. The story reminds us that Jesus grew. That Jesus grew. I think that sometimes we forget that. I think that we forget that while Jesus is the Son of God, he was also a human being. And he grew. He was a human being who grew in many of the same ways that you and I grow. For example, the story shows us that Jesus has a growing sense of his place. He has a growing sense of his path. He has a growing sense of his purpose in the life he was living. And this story shows how that understanding kind of led to some tension between he and his parents. Isn't that the same way that happens often with us? We think as teenagers we want to go one way, and our parents think that we ought to go another way, and what ends up happening? A little bit of conflict, amen? Rory don't know nothing about that, do you, brother? Rose, you don't know nothing about that, do you, sister? Uh-huh. I know you're telling stories, and you're in the church house. All right. But the story also offers us some good role models. And we need to be especially attentive to this because it shows us some good role models for both a parent and for children. For instance, Mary and Joseph obviously were holding Jesus accountable for his actions. Did you hear it there in verse 48? Mary came to him and said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Do you not know that your father and I have been seeking you anxiously?" They were holding Jesus accountable for his actions. He should have told them, amen? He should have told them that they were going to be out past 10. Amen? All right, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. But then we also see that here, even at age 12, as Jesus sensed his purpose, as Jesus sensed his destiny, look what he does in verse 51. He willingly submits himself to obedience and to the guidance of his parents. Verse 51. And then he went down with them.
And he came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Even the Son of God submitted himself to his parents. Teenagers. Even the Son of God submitted themselves to their parents. That's good ammunition there, right, parents? I hear you. I hear you. But let me ask you this. How did Jesus grow? How did Jesus grow? And how do those ways that he grew teach us how we might grow? How do they teach us how we must grow to be like Jesus? Well, today I pray we're going to see that. We're going to see the ways that Jesus grew, and we're also going to see how we must also grow to be like Jesus this year. First, I want to show you that Jesus grew up. Jesus grew up in verse 40, and the child grew. The child grew up. He grew up and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Here, between his infancy and his teen years, Jesus grew up. And when he grew up, he became strong in spirit. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means that as he grew, he became aware of and yielded to the Father's Spirit within him. It means that as Jesus grew, more and more of the Father's love, more and more of God's joy, of God's peace, of God's patience. Do all parents need patience? Amen. So do the teenagers. The patience, more and more of God's goodness, more and more of God's loving kindness, more and more of God's faithfulness and gentleness, more of God's self-control became evident in Jesus' life. He was strong in the Spirit of God. But Jesus also grew up and became filled with wisdom. Now, as a boy growing up in a Jewish family, the Proverbs of Solomon would have been etched in the mind of Jesus from a very tender age. And the very first proverb declares the whole purpose for all of them. And it says this: the purpose for the Proverbs are for attaining wisdom, attaining discipline, for understanding words of insight, and acquiring a disciplined and sensible life. The purpose is so that you will do what is right, do what is just, do what is fair. It's for making the simple-minded clever and for giving knowledge and purpose to young people. And then he sums that up by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Fools despise discipline. You see, Jesus knew, even at this tender age, he knew that the Lord God, his Father, is the one who gives wisdom. And he became filled with what the Lord offered because he wanted to live a disciplined and sensible life. And so Jesus grew. He grew physically. Jesus grew in years. And as he grew, Jesus had to make changes in his life. As he grew, he had to make certain adjustments in his life, just like we do. He had to take on more and more responsibility as he began living the life that his Father intended for him to live. This age 12, at which Jesus went into the temple was the age in those days when he was considered ready to begin moving into adulthood. Yes, it was time for Jesus to grow up. It was time. Can I tell you that we also must grow up? No matter how mature or how grown you think yourself to be, we must also grow up. And I want you to begin thinking of growing as a privilege. Because we ought to consider growing a privilege. Think of this. God has given us our lives, and we have the privilege of taking full advantage of the lives he's given us and actually making it more than it originally was. How do we do that? By growing. Some people don't never grow up, do they? And so they remain the same. But other people continue to grow in their knowledge, in the spirit, in wisdom. And guess what? They become more than what they originally were. Friends, as you and I grow, our responsibilities, our obligations, and our privileges do change. But we have to embrace those changes. We have to embrace those responsibilities. We have to embrace those obligations so that we will be disciples of Jesus Christ. We must embrace the privilege of growing. And as we make choices, Christ has got to be number one. Christ must remain foremost in our minds. We must first seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness so that we don't end up in a ditch somewhere. Amen. You start getting away from seeking God first. We talked about this in Sunday school. The minute you begin breaking fellowship with God, where do you end up? In the ditch. Breaking fellowship with God, not making Jesus foremost in your life, is going to get you off course. And the further off course you go, the more chances you have to end up in the ditch. We have a blessing, the blessing of God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us. We need to draw on that power. We need to draw on that power and make Him foremost in our lives. So Jesus grew up. He grew up, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and can I tell you, so should we. Taking on these fruit of the Spirit, accepting them as our own, and relating to other people through those spiritual gifts, and also filled with wisdom, that we too would live a disciplined and sensible life. But Jesus also grew in. He grew in. He grew in priorities. Look in verse 49 with me. And Jesus said to them, to His parents, "Why did you seek Me? Did you not know that I must," say must, "did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?" Jesus grew in His priorities. These that we just read are the Lord's first recorded words. And I believe that these words show that Jesus was fully aware of His identity as the Son of God. I believe that He was also conscious of His heavenly mission as well. And all through the life of Christ, there were two things that He kept foremost. One, His relationship with the Father. Never did He venture off course and break His relationship with the Father. And two, His mission as the Son. Friends, you and I would do well to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ in these two things. For if we will be ever mindful of our relationship with God, if we will remain focused to fulfill the mission that God has set forth for us, guess where you're not going to end up? In the ditch. And your life will be a success. You will be a success, but you must grow. You must grow in your priorities. You must grow in your priorities. Throughout the Lord's life, there was one word that always seemed to stay on His lips, and you said it. That word, must. Before leaving Galilee, He said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." I must preach, He said. After Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ of God, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes. He must be killed. He must be raised again on the third day." He must. And then as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about being born again, He reminded the Pharisee that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thereby healing God's people who had been bitten, so must the Son of Man be lifted up,
so that we can be healed from this bite of sin. And now we read here at age 12. At age 12, we find Jesus absolutely compelled to do the will of the Father. "I must," he said. Do you find yourself compelled to do the will of the Father? Do you find yourself saying, I must worship God. I must worship Him on Sunday mornings. I must serve Him in a ministry of the church. I must. Do you find yourself saying, I must study my Bible? Do you find yourself saying, I must know more of God's purposes for my life? Do you find yourself saying, I must tell this great news that Jesus saves to other people? I must. Do you find yourself saying, I must be about my Father's business? You know, marketing professionals have known for years that a friend recommending a product is always the most effective means of advertising. That's why large companies actually enlist consumers to receive free samples of the products they sell, and then encourage them to talk to their family and friends about them. There's one major U.S. corporation who regularly sends out free products to 725,000 people that they call connectors. They call them connectors, and then those connectors spread the word about the product. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Word of God, that the good news of Jesus Christ is a product. The good news of Jesus is God's great plan for bringing people into a living, vital relationship with Himself. But I will say this. The gospel is expressed by connectors. The gospel is shared by example. The gospel is shared through people who are willing to spread the good news, to spread the word. But why would a connector express the good news in this way? Could it be that because their lives have been so radically changed that they're not scared to recommend their Savior to a friend? Has your life been so radically changed that you're unafraid to share the good news of Christ Jesus with your friend? God's grace through Christ should be all the motivation we need to share that good news. Friends, if you want others to know what Christ Jesus will do for them, why don't you just tell them what He's done for you? Amen? Are you there? If you want them to know, tell them what's happened to you. Share a testimony. Friends, it's my prayer that in 2010, every single one of us are going to get to the point where we must, say must, where we must tell others about Christ Jesus. And I'm going to pray it all through the year that we get to that point where we must share. So Jesus grew in His priorities, but Jesus also grew in grace. Grew in wisdom, grew in favor. Let's go back to verse 40 quickly. And the child grew, and the grace of God was upon him. Fast forward to verse 52. And Jesus increased. That is, He grew. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, what does that mean? That's a good way of saying that as He grew, both His heavenly Father who sent Him and the people of Nazareth who were watching Him saw evidence in Him of the grace of God. Do people see the grace of God in your life? Do they see the grace of God in your life? Friends, as Christ Jesus was growing, people witnessed the grace of God in him, and they were pleased with what they saw. They were pleased with the progress that this young man was making. They saw the grace of God in him. Can I tell you that we can and we should be growing in grace? How do I do that, Brother Bill? How do I grow in the grace of God? Friends, we should be growing in a way that makes a difference to other people. Not only to ourselves, but to others. But how in the world am I to grow in grace? In what ways will I grow if I'm growing in grace? In what ways will I grow if I'm growing in wisdom? In what ways will I grow if I'm growing in favor with God and with men? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul gives us several areas of our lives in which we can grow in the grace of God. In Colossians chapter 3, when you're there, look at me. Amen. All right, verse 12. The Apostle Paul says to this church, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you are the elect of God and you are holy and beloved. Put on." Say, put on. That's something you can do, okay? Just like you did your clothes this morning, just like you put on your breeches, you can put on these things we're about to mention. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. That's patience to me and you. Put on bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint with one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on. Say put on. Put on love. That's the biggie, okay? Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? The only way it's going to dwell in you richly is if you read it, okay? Just so you know that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, say singing. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And get this, and whatever you do, say whatever you do. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just how pleased would God be? Just how much would our community notice if every single one of us were growing in these graces we just read about? I'll tell you, God would be real pleased. And these people in our community would really notice if we were growing in all of these areas. Friends, if Jesus grew, we ought to grow. And Jesus grew. He grew up strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. He grew. He grew in God's priorities. And he grew in grace, in wisdom, and in favor. But finally, Jesus grew toward. He grew toward. And by that, I mean that Jesus in his whole life always was growing toward a goal. He was always growing toward a goal. He grew being the person that his Father meant for him to be. He grew living the kind of life that his Father intended for him to live. He was growing toward a goal. Just think of this for a second. From the very beginning, Jesus' life, all of the living, all of the learning, all of the loving was moving toward the cross of Calvary. His whole life was moving toward the goal of that empty garden tomb. His whole life was moving toward that goal. Friends, our lives ought to be growing toward something too. It ought to be growing toward being the kind of people that God means for us to be. Our lives should be lives of the cross, just like Jesus' was. Our lives should be lives living in the power and glory of Christ's resurrection. And you may remember what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And then he goes on to say, for he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Strong words from our Lord, isn't it? Friends, we who are saved are crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. We who are saved are also raised to new life in Him. Raised and crucified. And friends, every step we take down this path, going further and further, should be in Christ-like faith. That's the goal. We ought to be growing toward that goal of being Christ-like. But how can I do that? How can I do that this year? In a word, be diligent to grow. To grow. Turn with me to 2 Peter in chapter 1. Peter shows us how we can grow toward the goal of Christ-likeness. He shows us how we can grow toward, just like the Christ child did. For in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at me when you're there. Amen. All right. Look down in verse 5. Peter writes, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, that means work hard at it, okay? Work hard at it. Add. If you're adding something, guess what? You're growing it. You're increasing it. Add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your self-control perseverance or patience. Add to your perseverance godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Rather, you'll be productive and useful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growing toward a goal. Growing toward. Friends, I want to conclude by telling you that a church that is alive and well is a growing one. Where there is no growth, either in the individual disciple or in the church, there is a serious problem. If you believe that, say amen. Some churches have space problems. Others don't. Some churches have kids running around making a whole lot of racket. Do we? Some don't. Some churches have more expenses than they do money. Some just don't spend much. Some churches are growing so fast you don't always know everybody's name. But others, you've known all their names for years and years. Some churches are filled with tithers. Others are filled with tippers. And I'll take this opportunity to tell you that God don't need your tip, but He commands your tithe. Some churches enthusiastically and generously support missions, foreign and domestic. But others just don't see the need. They'd rather keep that money at home. Some churches evangelize. Other churches fossilize. Some churches always seem to be planning for the future. But other churches are living in the past. Some churches are always seeking new ministries, new methods, new ways of reaching lost people. But other churches sometimes just don't see the need. Friend, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If we're not growing, then we're dying. Can I say that same thing about your Christian walk? If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not progressing, then you're digressing. If you're not going forward, then you've either stopped or you're going backward. Do you see the importance
of growing like Christ? I want you to know this morning that it is never, ever too late to begin growing. It is never too late for you to grow. So what's your resolution this new year? Why don't we all resolve to grow like Christ? There's a first step in doing that, and that is confessing your dependence upon Him. Realizing that you, like every other human being, is a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. Realizing that those sins are leading down a path that will lead to eternal death. But that God has provided a gift of eternal life through His Son, Christ Jesus. That He demonstrates His love for you. And that while you're yet a sinner, His Son Jesus died for you. And that if you'll just confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, this ain't Brother Billology, this is theology. You will be saved. That's the first step in the growth pattern that I'm talking about this morning. If you've never made that kind of confession, if you've never crossed that line in the sand and said, Jesus is my Lord, this morning is a great opportunity. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the privilege of growing. And Lord, I pray for forgiveness for the times in my life that I have refused to grow. That I just assume go backwards as go forwards. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive us, but that You would convict our hearts of the need and the necessity to grow like Jesus. And Lord, I just pray now that we would grow up, that we would grow in, and that we'd be growing toward the goal, the ultimate goal of seeing the world changed for the cause of Jesus Christ. We're going to begin right here at Bethel. We're going to begin this morning with the people that are in this church. We're going to begin this morning making a stand for the people in our community. And we're going to love them. We're going to show them the kindness of Christ. We're going to humbly go to their doors. Lord, we're looking forward to that. We thank You for the privilege of being able to grow toward that goal. Father, if there's one here this morning who's not taking the first step in the growth, Father, just let them know that today's their day. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for allowing us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank You for Your word and for all that it speaks to us. And we ask You now to have Your way and Your will in this invitation, in this decision time. Father, if there's a believer here who's ready to take a stand to grow, Father, I pray that they'd realize this altar is open, that Your throne is always available, and they can pray anytime they choose. Father, if there's any decision to be made this morning, Father, let them know that today is their day. In the name of Christ we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's sing, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. it white as snow.
Amen. Been good to be in God's house.